daf is Shabbos daf Mem Gimel. The large majority of today's daf continues the discussion about moving kelim that are not muktzah for the sake of protecting something that is muktzah. But at the very end of the daf, we're going to move on to discuss the status of a mace, how to handle a dead body on Shabbos, especially if it's in a place where it can easily be destroyed, where something could easily happen to it, like it's in the hot sun or it's in a burning house. So how does one take care of the dead body? So just to remind ourselves, we're holding in the middle of a sugya. The Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis and Beis had said that ein nosen kli tachas aner lekabel bo'as Hashem. You're not allowed to put a kli underneath a candle to catch the oil from the candle. The Mishnah itself, however, never discussed whether you could put a kli on top of something that is muktzah in order to protect it, whether you're allowed to cover something with a kli in order to protect it. And that is machlokas amoraim between Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak. That's what we're going to see on today's daf. Yesterday we saw Rav Chista's shita. Rav Chista holds that afal pi shamru einos and kli tachas tarnagolas the kabel beitzasa aval kofel kli shaloti shaver. Even though you're not allowed to put a kli under a tarnagolas to catch the egg that's coming out of the tarnagolas, but you're allowed to take a kli to put it over the egg in order to protect the egg, even though the egg is muksa, the egg was nolad on Shabbos and that makes it muksa. You're allowed to put a kli according to Rav Chista over the egg. Later on, we're going to see Rav Yitzchak Shita on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, two lines before the lines get wide. Rav Yitzchak is going to disagree, and he's going to hold, you're also not allowed to put a kli over the egg. But the question is, according to the Shita of Rav Chista, that you're allowed to put a kli over the egg, why is that permissible? Why are you allowed to move a kli, to take a kli, and in, just for the sake of protecting something that is muktzah? So there are going to be two explanations of Rav Chista's Shita, one of which we saw yesterday. We'll start again from there. Amar Rabba, Rabba holds, my time with Rav Chista, what's the reason that Rav Chista holds you're allowed to put a kli over an egg in order to protect it? Kasavar tarnagolas asuya lahatil beitzasa ba'ashba ve'ina asuya lahatil beitzasa b'makom madron v'atzala mitzuya hitiru v'atzala sheina mitzuya lo hitiru. Because the rule, according to Rabba's understanding of Rav Chista, is that you're allowed to take a kli and move it for the sake of a muktzah item if it's a hatzala mitzuya, if it's something that can commonly happen and the item needs to be saved from a very common type of occurrence. So you're not allowed to take a kli to put it under a chicken to catch the egg, because that's a hatzala she'ena mitzuya. It's very rare that the egg, as it comes out of the chicken, is going to fall down some sort of incline and immediately become destroyed. So there's no reason to put a kli under the chicken to catch the egg. That is very uncommon for it to be necessary to do that, and therefore we don't allow doing it on Shabbos. But what's very common is that a chicken will lay an egg, and it will be in an area that's unprotected, and someone will trample it, someone will step on it, will knock it over, will destroy it after it's already on the ground. That's a hatzala mitzuya, therefore. And that's why Rav Chista holds you're allowed to take a kli and put it over the egg, because for anything that's a hatzala mitzuya, you're allowed to take a non-mukta kli to protect a mukta item for hatzala mitzuya. So the Gemara is going to challenge that idea that hatzala mitzuya is mutter, that you're allowed to move a non-mukta item to protect a mukta item for the sake of hatzala mitzuya. The Gemara is going to challenge it five times. Five different prices we're going to have that seem to suggest that even for hatzala mitzuya, you're not allowed to take a kli and be metaltal it for the sake of a mukta item. So kasha number one, Esvei Abaye, v'atzala she'ena mitzuya lo itiru. Well, the Gemara is going to ask the other way. Do you really think that when it's atzala she'ena mitzuya, you're not allowed to move a kli for the sake of the muktzah item? V'atanya, don't we have a brisa nishmer lo chavish al tevel barosh gago? Maybe kli umaniach tachteha, that if you have a kli full of tevel, a barrel full of tevel, and it breaks, and therefore the tevel, let's say it's wine, and it's spilling out, and you need to save it. So you're allowed to, tevel is muktzah, because you can't do anything with tevel on Shabbos. Tevel is something that you haven't taken trumas and maestros off of. You're not allowed to be misakin it. You're not allowed to take trumas and maestros on Shabbos. So it's muktzah. You have no use for it on Shabbos, but it's all being lost. It's all falling down. So you're allowed to take a kli to catch it, to catch the tevel that's falling. So don't you see, this is hatzala she'ena mitzuya. How often does this happen, that a barrel full of tevel just happens to break on Shabbos? That's a very uncommon type of hatzala, and yet we still see you're allowed to be metaltel a kli that's not muktzah for the sake of this kind of hatzala. And so the Gemara begulfi chadati dishchichi depaki. No, we're talking about new barrels, and new barrels which haven't really been tested yet tend to break, and that's common enough for it to be called a hatzala mitzuya. So the Gemara says, okay, challenge number two, esve. Nosen kli tachas haner lekabel nitzotzos. You're allowed to put a kli underneath a ner to catch nitzotzos, to catch these sparks that are coming out of the ner. So isn't this also a hatzala she'enu mitzuya? How often do the sparks come out of the ner that you have to worry about it? So, and yet we still see you're allowed to move a kli for it. And so Gemara nitzotzos nami shchichi. It happens all the time. Sparks come out of the ner all the time. Just one quick point in Tosos on the bottom Tosos she'enu mitzuya. So Tosus says, wait a second. Vade nosin kli tachas haner lekabel shemen chashav hatzala she'enu mitzuya. He says, if hatzala mitzuya were matir and she'enu mitzuya were not matir, so what was the case in our Mishnah again? We're commenting on Rav Chista's case about an egg. But what was the case in our Mishnah? It was about putting a kli to catch shemen from a ner. Wouldn't that? And the Mishnah said you're not allowed to do that. Isn't that hatzala mitzuya? Shemen dripping out of a ner? Shouldn't that? I would think that's at least as common as nitzotos, sparks flying off of the ner, right? That's got to be hatzala mitzuya. So why would that be a problem? According to Rabba's understanding of Rav Chista, that anytime it's hatzala mitzuya, you're allowed to be metalta the kli. How do you explain the Mishnah? You're allowed to move a kli to catch the shemen from the ner. So he says there's a third level. There's hatzala mitzuya, there's hatzala shena mitzuya, and then there's something that's so common that it should never happen that you need to move a kli for it. On Shabbos, because of course you would have set up a kli for that already before Shabbos, and therefore it's so common it becomes hatzala she'ena mitzuya, which is ironic, meaning it's so common that it's going to happen, you're going to set up a system before Shabbos to protect yourself from that, and therefore it's hatzala she'ena mitzuya that you're ever going to need to do it on Shabbos. That's what Tosfos understands. V'adei nosan kli tachas haner lekabel shemen chashav hatzala she'ena mitzuya lufi sheregilim li'olam nosis kli tachas haner mibod yom. You always would put a kli under the ner before Shabbos. Starts. Nitzotzos are in that in-between stage. Nitzotzos are common enough that it's called Hatzala Mitzuya, but uncommon enough that you would not have taken care of them before Shabbos. But the Shemen Shabiner, it's so common that you would have always taken care of it before Shabbos. That's what Tosfos understands. Third kasha now, third challenge, on the top of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, Esvei Kofin Ka'ara Alaner Shalei Yochas Bekura. We said that you're allowed to take a plate and put it over a ner so that the fire won't ignite the beams over the area where the fire is and light your whole house on fire. So you're allowed to do this. Why are you allowed to do this? After all, isn't this hatzala she'enu mitzuya? How often does that happen that the whole house lights on fire from the ner that you have lit? And so Gemara b'bati gachini d'shchiach b'dveika. We're talking about a very low ceiling, and by a very low ceiling, with a house with a very low ceiling, yeah, you do have a lot of times that a fire will start. So fourth challenge. V'chein korash nishpura somchen al osa b'safsal u'baruchas amita. If a beam breaks on Shabbos, so the beam is muksa, but you're allowed to support the beam with a bench, with the bedposts, kalim that are not muksa may be moved in order to help support the beam. So don't you see, this is how often does a beam break? This is a tzala she'ena mitzuya, and yet we allow tiltal of a kli that's not muksa to protect the muksa kli. And so Gemara b'kshuri chadati davidi depaki. Who says it's a tzala she'ena mitzuya? This is a tzala mitzuya. We're dealing with new beams, and new beams tend to break once in a while. Again, they haven't been tested. Older beams that have already been in the house for a long time, they don't break that often, that frequently. But if you have a new beam that hasn't yet been tested by the weight of the house and by the cement and by everything else, so that is likely to break, that's called Hatzala Mitzuya. Fifth and final challenge to Rabba's understanding of Rav Chista. Nosen kli tachas hadelef b'Shabbos. You're allowed to put a kli underneath a leak on Shabbos. So how common is a leak? It seems to be atzala she'enu mitzuya, and yet you're allowed to move a kli for the sake of the muktza rainwaters. And so Gemara, bebati chadati d'shchichi d'dalfi. Who said rainwater is a muktzah? We're dealing who says it's hatzala she'ena mitzuya? This is hatzala mitzuya. It's hatzala mitzuya because it's a new house, and new houses a lot of times if it hasn't been tested by the first rain yet, so it very often will have a leak. So that's why it's hatzala mitzuya. So all five challenges against Rabba's understanding of Rav Chista were from cases that we thought were hatzala she'ena mitzuya, and in all five cases we said no, those are really atzala mitzuya. So that's why you're allowed to move a kli. But again, that was all just Rabba's understanding of Rav Chisda. Now we're going to move on to Rav Yosef's understanding of Rav Chisda. Again, Rav Chisda was mechalik. Rav Chisda said that you're not allowed to take a kli and put it underneath the chicken to catch the egg, but once the egg is laid, you're allowed to take a kli and put it over the egg to protect the egg. So Rabba understood that the reason for that distinction is that one is atzala mitzuya, one is atzala sheina mitzuya. Putting a kli under the chicken to catch the egg is not frequently needed, and therefore you're not allowed to do that. But over the egg is frequently needed, therefore you are allowed to do it. However, Rav Yosef is a different understanding of Chisda. Rav Yosef Amar, Hainu time of Rav Chisda, Mishum to come mevatel kli meyechano. Now, the whole reason that Rav Chisda allows putting the kli over the egg is that the entire problem in the first place of putting the kli under the egg is that it's mevatel kli meyechano. You're making the kli unusable when you put it under the chicken to catch the egg. Because once that egg lands in that kli, you're not allowed to move that kli for the rest of Shabbos. It's now basas l'davara aser. It now has a muksa item on it, so that you're not going to be allowed to move it for the rest of Shabbos. That's the whole iser. But if you put a kli over the egg, you're going to be able to move that kli, because moving the kli will not involve moving the egg. You'll be able to take the kli off of the top of the egg. So what's the problem of being mevatel kli meyechano? So who says you're not allowed to put something in a place where you're not going to be able to move it for the rest of Shabbos? So Tosfos writes on the top, Beperek Basra Pirush Bekuntros, that Rashi's going to explain later on that the issue of mevatel kli meyechano and dafkufnun daladam beis, da asr mishum de mechsi kisoser. It looks like you're destroying, meaning you're destroying that kli. You had a perfectly usable kli, now you put it under a chicken, an egg fell in it, now you don't have a usable kli anymore, so you've destroyed the kli. That's one possibility. The kan pirish, but Rashi and the Mishnah had said, the chashav kilu mechabru sham betit, that it's as if you've cemented that kli into the ground. Right, we saw that Rashi yesterday, that it's like binyan. It's as if you've taken that kli and cemented it into the ground, because now the kli can't be moved at all. So that's the way, those are two possibilities in what the issue is in mevatel kli meyechano. But either way, Rav Yosef holds that that's the problem that Rav Chisda has with putting a kli under a ner to catch the oil, under a chicken to catch the egg. It's an issue of mevatel kli meyechano. The Gemara is going to challenge Rav Yosef's understanding of Rav Chisda five different times. So first challenge, Eisvei Abaye, Chavishal, and many of the challenges are the same. Chavishal tevel shenishbra, maybe kli acher, umeniach tachtav. If you have a barrel of tevel that breaks, you're allowed to bring a kli and put it underneath it to catch the tevel. Aye, isn't this mevatel kli meyechano? Why are you allowed to bring a kli in order to catch it? Amalei tevel muchan hu etzel Shabbos. Shemar v'tikna musukan. Who said tevel is muksa? Maybe tevel is not considered muksa. It's muchan hu etzel Shabbos. Because, after all, even though you're not allowed to be mafresh trumos and maestros on Shabbos, if you b'dieved, if you are mafresh trumos and maestros, it is misakin the produce. You then are allowed to eat the produce. If you look at Tosfos, tevel muchan hu etzel Shabbos, afal pishasul etaltalo. But wait a second. We paskin, you're not allowed to be metaltal tevel. That it is muksa in that you're not allowed to be metaltalit. So why would it not be considered muksa in that if it's caught in a kli that's not called mevatel kli meichano? So kinnan bergman mikol makom lo chashu mevatel kli meichano kiven di im aver v'tikno musukan. It's still not called mevatel kli meichano because there is a way to fix it. So the kli is not necessarily going to be cemented into the ground here and going to be completely useless for the rest of Shabbos. But the tevel as tevel is muksa because halachically you're not allowed to do anything about it. The issue of mevatel kli meichano is projecting, is there ever any way that we would ever be able to use this kli? And the answer is yes, there is a way if someone else comes and does the avera of being mesakein this tevel on Shabbos. So then Tosfos raises the question, kashal rashba, the tamasach trumos, perek beis, yimais labani zaken, hama'aser b'shabbos b'shogig yochal b'mezid lo yochal, that if a person takes off maestros on Shabbos b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat the produce. It's not masukan, it remains muksa. Volition to kamar hachim avro v'tikno, but over here our Gemara says, im avar v'tikno masukan. What does avar v'tikno sound like? B'shogeg? No, Avar V'tikno sounds like you're doing it b'mezid. And yet it says over here, Mesugan, that it's going to work even if you do it b'mezid. It should say, Vim Shogag V'tikno. So he says, V'nira denakat Avar, kigon delesle piri achrini. Dabim beitza perigam tov dafilu b'mezid yochal. Maybe in Avar is talking about a case where you don't have any other peiros. When you don't have any other peiros, the halacha is, even when you're masakin it b'mezid, it's still going to take away the muktza status of the peiros. Okay, the Tosfos says more to say, but let's see Vayter in the Gemara. So now, second challenge on Rav Yosef's understanding of Rav Chista. Nosin kli tachas haner lekabel nitzotzos. We said that you're allowed to put a kli underneath a ner in order to catch the nitzotzos, in order to catch the sparks. Isn't that a problem of Vatel Kli Mechano? Doesn't the Kli that you put underneath to catch the sparks become Mutsa for the rest of Shabbos? You're not going to be able to move it. I'm referring to Brit of Shur, Nitzotza Sein Ben Mamish. No, the sparks, you're not going to have a Kli full of sparks at the end of Shabbos. You know, the Kli that catches the sparks doesn't have sparks in it, sparks disappear. So there's nothing in the Kli, so the Kli is not Mutsa at all. It's just there to stop things from catching fire, but you're allowed to then move the Kli, there's nothing in the Kli. So that's not a problem of Vatel Kli Mechano. Third challenge, the chen kora shenishbra, if you have a beam that breaks, somchnos habesafsal o baruchos amita. Here's where we're the first one that we skipped one of the rayas on that we had against Rabbah. Against Rabbah we had five rayas. Against Rav Yosef we're also going to have five rayas. Rayas number 1 and 2 were exactly the same. Raya number 3 against Rabbah was on the top, was kofin ka'ara al haner shloyochas bekura. That's not a problem for Rav Yosef. That's not going to be a raya at all, because it was talking about putting something over the ner, and that's not an issue at all about Mvatel Kli Meichano. Of course you're allowed to move it afterwards, so that's why we don't bring that raya. So we skip straight ahead to what was raya number 4 against Rabbah, is now raya number 3 against Rav Yosef. So Korosh Nishbara, if you have a beam that has broken, Somchana Osa B'Safsal O Baruch Samita, so you can support the beam with a bench or with the bedposts. So don't you see that it's Mvatel Kli Meichano, and still you're allowed to do it? And so Gemara to Rafi, Dibayi Shakale. Maybe we're talking about a case where it's just a little loose, and if you want, you're able to move it out without actually being metaltal the muktzah. So it wouldn't be a problem, Vatal Kli Meichano. Raya number 4 now. Nosen Kli Tachas Adelef B'Shabbos. We said that you're allowed to put a Kli underneath a leak on Shabbos. Isn't this a problem, Vatal Kli Meichano, because you're not going to be able to move the Kli once it's full of water, because the waters are muktzah? And so Gemara, who says the waters are muktzah? B'Delef HaRotwi. We're talking about a leak that has water that's usable, that's drinkable, potable water. You have perfectly good water. So that's not mukta. Something comes down from the sky, the Gemara is going to discuss. If it rains or it snows, the rain, the snow itself, isn't mukta. I was at a simcha this week on Sunday. Someone came over to me and said, Rabbi Sablovsky had the most unbelievable psak. He said that you're allowed to shovel snow on Shabbos if it's dangerous, it's in the way, not even dangerous, if it's in the way that you're allowed to shovel the snow on Shabbos. I said, yeah, Rav David Weinberger used to tell the Balabatim and Shari all the time, that if there's snow and it's difficult to walk to shul, there's no issue, as long as there's an Eruv, there's no issue of shoveling snow on Shabbos. He said that he asked his grandfather, Rav Scheinberg Zichron Levracha, about shoveling snow on Shabbos. Rav Scheinberg said, Mutter. So he said, how could it be Mutter? He said, well, what's the Isser? So he said, I don't know what the Isser is, it just seems Asser. So he said that he asked Rav Yashiv, and Rav Yashiv said, don't do it. He said, what's the Isser? So he asked Rav Yashiv, what's the Isser? He said, just don't do it. I don't know what the Isser is, but don't do it. It's not Muktzah, it's not a Tirchi Yaseira, something like that. But if there's a real Shabbos need for it, if it's you have an elderly person who needs to walk by or something like that, so then it should be me'ikar adin mutter if there's any sort of tzarech. Okay, so if there's, just because there's rainwater, the rainwater is not muksa. It's only if it's dirty and disgusting and not usable, then it's muksa. But if it's clean water, so it's not muksa, that's fine. So challenge number 5 now. Kofnes asal lefneha efrochin. You're allowed to turn over a basket and put it in front of birds, sheyalu v'yardu, so that they should be able to go up on the basket and come down to wherever the chicken coop that they're trying to get into. So don't you see, this is mevatel kli meichano, and still you're allowed to do it. So kasavra mutal letaltalo. No, we hold that you're allowed to move that kli. You're not being mevatel kli meichano. Even after you've put it there, you're allowed to move it. Aiva tanya asal letaltalo. But don't we have a brisa that says that if you've put a kli in front of the chickens, it becomes also to be metaltalit, but odin alav. No, it's only us to be metaltalit while the chickens are on it. Once the chickens step off of it, you're then allowed allowed to move it. But we have a brisa that says no, that you're not even allowed to move that kli, even if the chickens aren't on it. That's only in the case where the chickens were on it for the entire ben hashmashos. If chickens were on it for the entire duration of ben hashmashos, then even when the chickens step off of it on Shabbos, the kli remains muksa because of migo diskatzay. Once it becomes muksa for ben hashmashos, it's muksa for the rest of Shabbos. But in a typical case where chickens were not on it for the entire ben hashmashos, so as long as the chickens are off of it, you're allowed to move the kli. Those are the five challenges, and we answer all five challenges. Weiter now. So that was all within the shita of Rav Chista. Rav Chista held, although you're not allowed to put a kli under an eret to catch the oil, you're not allowed to put a kli under a chicken to catch the egg, but you are allowed to put a kli over the egg in order to protect the egg from breaking. That you're allowed to do. So Rav Yitzchak disagrees, and we have two explanations of Rav Chista's shita, but now Rav Yitzchak disagrees with that shita entirely. Am Rav Yitzchak, Shem Shein Nosen Kli, Tachas Tarnagol Eskal Beit Sasa, Kach Ain kofenolah hakli b'shvil shalot yishaver. Now, just like you're not allowed to put a kli under the chicken to catch the egg, you're also not allowed to put a kli over the egg in order to protect the egg from breaking. Why? Kasavar ain kli nital ela ledavra nital b'shabbos. He holds that the rule is you're not allowed to move a kli, even a non-mukta item, for the sake of a mukta item. It doesn't matter where you put it, how you position it. You're not allowed to move a non-mukta kli for the sake of a mukta item. So meisve kalhani tiyufta. So we ask all the challenges that we asked before. Vishani b'tzarech l'mukomo. And we answer all of them in one shot. That in all these cases where you're allowed to move these items, the bed to hold the beam up, and the kli to catch the leak, and all of these different things, all these different cases, it's all the same answer. Bitzarech l'makomo, that you're allowed to move an item when it's tzarech makomo, even something itself that's muktzah, let's say kli shemelach l'lisser, when you need the place where it is, you're allowed to move it. So we're talking about a kli that you're moving because you need it. You're moving because you needed the space where that it was taking up, and once you're moving it, so you can put it down in a way that it will catch the leak, that will support the beam, that it will catch the tevel, that will do all these things. Because it's tzarech mekomo. Says Rashi, b'tzarech lemekomo lishtamish b'makom akli, umitoch sheyachol litlo l'tzarech mekomo melicho l'makom sheyirtza. Once you're allowed to move it l'tzarech mekomo, so you can put it down wherever you want. So you put it down in a way that's going to save something, that's going to protect something. The Achronim bring this Gemara, this Rashi, as a riot to the Ramah in Siman Reish Samach Vav. The Ramah we've mentioned a few times. That let's say you find on Shabbos you're already carrying something muktza. You're walking and you realize you have your wallet on you on Shabbos. So do you have to put it down right away? Or once you're carrying it, can you then just carry it to whatever location you want to put it? So the Ramah writes, Kivan Shamuktza Biyado, you can go l'kol makom sheyirtza, put it wherever you want. So the Bir Agra says that the raya you have is from here, that the whole that once you're being metaltel, so you're allowed to be metaltel. I'm sorry, the Bir Agra disagrees. The Bir Agra says the raya from here is not a good raya. What are we talking about over here? You're being metaltel l'kli. Are you allowed to be metaltel l'kli l'tzarech makomo? Yeah, it's heter gomer. So once you're being metaltel l'heter gomer, so you can continue to be metaltel to wherever you want to put it. The Ramah's case wasn't talking about where you're being metaltel that to gamut. The Ramah's case was you forgot and you were carrying something be'isser. So when you're carrying something be'isser, misha achal shum v'reichel nodev, yachsav yachal shum v'reichel nodev, right? Chazal of an expression. Someone who ate garlic and his breath smells, should continue to eat more garlic so his breath will smell more? That's silly. Why would you keep doing that? He's doing an aver over here. So you're not allowed to just keep on carrying it because once I'm doing it, I might as well do it. It's like a person eats something on a fast day. You don't say, okay, once he ate already, you might as well. No, you don't just continue to do the iser in order to for any reason. So says the Gemara Vayitin. Now Toshma, the Gemara is now going to have several rayas, four different rayas against this idea of Rav Yitzchak. That Rav Yitzchak held that you're not ever allowed to move a kli for the sake of a mukta item. So four rayas. Tashma raya number one. Achas beis shnol d'mishabes achas beis shnol d'biyom tov ein metaltel lo l'chasos ba sakli v'lismach ba kira emita al v'kofel a kli b'shvil shalot yishaver. It says beferish that if a beitza is nolda on Shabbos u'yantiv, you're allowed to take a kli and put it over that egg to protect the egg. I thought you said you're not allowed to move a kli. Let's sarach l'motzayim. Sarachanami b'tzarach l'makama. No, you got to say that kli was originally being moved b'tzarach l'makama, and therefore it's not a problem of putting it over the egg. So Tosfos points out the Gemara couldn't have foreseen that would be the answer, that it's b'tzarach l'makama. We just said that all the previous tiftos that we asked, all the previous prices, could be explained by Rav Yitzchak as saying b'tzarach l'makama. We couldn't have explained this one as well. We couldn't see this one coming. This answer coming of b'tzarach l'makama. So Tosfos writes, "Kol hanu demaisi yada maksha dematzi l'shnuy b'tzarach l'makama el shirot zaledim yesh l'tarit binyan acher." Certainly, the maksha knew that the answer was going to be about tzarach l'makama. He just wanted to see if there was any other answer that maybe we could answer a little bit better. You have this a lot of places in Shas. Shar Mishnah Balachov here quotes. You have this Tosfos on Kufchav Gimel and Beis says the same thing, that Abaye knew that how Rabba was going to answer, but Paruch l'Rava ulai yomer lo teretz acher. Maybe he'll give him a different teretz. In Baba Kama Daf Mem Beis you have it. In Baba Metzia Daf Chafal. He quotes a whole bunch of sugyas where you have this, where the Gemara knows already the answer, but it keeps on challenging over and over again, even though very often it's going to get the same answer. But then he says the Shla Kadosh in Torah Shbal Peh Dibur Maskel Fam Hamakshen. He says Yesh Litzma the Karila My Karila Me'achas Shama Pamachas Hatirutz. Once you know the teretz, I'm kain my maksha su. Why do we keep asking when we know the teretz? V'chi lo yada shematuritz katiritz harishon. Do we not know that the first answer would work for all the further challenges? So he says the kibalti shamakshin hiksha kol akushus b'pamachas. V'atartin tiritz lo alkulam tiritz ze hachem mayaskinon rak hasadun sider achka kol tashma b'pnei atzmo. He says not like Tosfos over here, not like Tosfos in Parakiva. He says that maybe the way it worked out in the Beis Medrash was that the makshin asked all these kashas at once. He says, I have 12 kashas at you. One, two, three, four. And the Tartan said at one time, no, all those kashas could be answered with Sarach L'makomo. When they were Mesadr, the Shas, they put one kasha at a time with the Teretz after one, so you don't have to remember all 12 kashas at once. So put one at a time. That's the way it works. But it's against Tosos, that's how the Shlach HaKadosh understood. So Tashma, second challenge now against Rav Yitzchak. Parson Machzalos Al Gabei Avanim B'Shabbos. You're allowed to spread mats over stones on Shabbos to protect the stones. So don't you see that you're being metaltal something with Tzorech Adavra Muktza? Says the Gemara, no. B'Avanim Machzalos Techazin LeBeis Hakisei. Who said we're talking about Muktza rocks? Maybe these are the smooth kinds of rocks they used to use as toilet paper. So those were not Muktza. They were set aside from before Shabbos for use on Shabbos. So it wasn't Muktza at all. Tashma, third challenge. Parson Machzalos Al Gabei Levenim B'Shabbos. You're allowed to spread mats over bricks on Shabbos. Bricks are certainly muktzah. And Sigmar, no, maybe these are very large bricks that were left over from a construction project that people would use as a chair or as something to lean on. So it was something that wasn't muktzah at all. It became like a kli. Tashma, fourth raya. Parson makselus al gabi kav, fourth kasha. Parson makselus al gabi kaveris devorim b'shabbos b'cham bnei achamu b'ksham bnei agsham v'atshali iskavin latzud. You're allowed to take a mat and put it over a beehive on Shabbos in order to protect a honeycomb on Shabbos in order to protect it in the sun from the sun and in the rain from the rain. So as long as you don't have any intention to trap the bees in there, that's totally mutter. Aye, but isn't the whole thing a muktzah item? And yet you're being metaltal and non-muktzah item for the sake of a muktzah item. No, we're talking about where there's honey in there. Honey's not muktzah, so you're being metaltal. It's sarach the honey. Amalei ravuk v'mimishon the ravashi tenach v'yemos hachama. That explains very well during the summertime. Di'ika dvash, because there tends to be honey in there during the summertime. So that's great. What about in the wintertime when there isn't honey in there? Then why are you allowed to be metal to this? So lo nitzrucha ela lo osan shtei chalos. So he said, no, we're talking about even in the wintertime, you always leave two honeycombs. You always leave a little bit, as Rashi points out, you have these honeycombs throughout the entire area, but when you take out the honey, you leave two in there so that the bees could have what to be misparnis from throughout the entire rainy season. And this is clear in the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Pei discusses when you sell certain items, what's assumed to be included? If I sell you my house, so is furniture assumed to be included? Probably not. A refrigerator assumed to be included? In America, yes. In Israel, no. Right? It depends on what the general assumption normally is. When I sell a honeycomb, so am I assumed to leave it fully stocked? So the Mishnah Baba says no, but those two combs, the honeycombs that you have to leave in there that are full of honey, that's always there. That's assumed to be included. Why is that assumed? Because you never ever remove that. That's always there for the parnasa of the. So there's always honey in there. Yeah, there's honey in there, but that honey is muksa because that's designated for the animals. That's not for people. So the chashav alayu. No, we're talking about a case where you had a machshava that you wanted to use that honey. So therefore, it's not muksa. Halo chashav alayu mai aser. But the implication is, if you didn't have a machshava that you want to use it, then it would taka be aser. You would not be allowed to take this mat and put it over such a honeycomb in the rainy season. Ihachi hadatani. But if that's the case, hadatani ublvachli iskavin latsud. Instead of the Brisa telling me that you know when it's going to be aser, if you have kavana to trap the bees, that's when it's going to be aser. Why don't we give me an even better case where it's going to be aser? Liflug listening bidida, we can make a distinction within the realm of the halachas that we're actually talking about. We're not even talking about seda. So talk about the halachas that we're actually talking about within the laws of mutza. We could already make a distinction and say, Bamed var mamurim, when is it mutter to put the mat over the beehive? Kishachishe valeyan. That's only when you had a machshava to use those honeycombs. But if you had no machshava to use it, it's going to be aser. That's what it should have said. So hakamash, no, the chiddush is teaching me is that even if you had a machshava and therefore it's not muksa, still it could still be aser if you have kavana for tzeda. So it's adding a new idea that's teaching me a new halacha that I wouldn't have otherwise known. So it says my money. Who could be the author of this price then? Rabbi Shimon, if it's Rabbi Shimon, less than muktza. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of muktza. He has a much more limited view of muktza. He wouldn't hold that the honey's muktza in the first place. Rabbi Yehuda, and if we're assuming that it's Rabbi Yehuda who does hold of a more expansive view of muktza, kilo miskavin may havi hadavashen miskavin aser. What does it matter that you don't have kavana to trap the bees? Even a davashen miskavin is going to be aser according to Rabbi Yehuda. This is a major machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Shimon in this entire mesecta and really in all of Shas. So it wouldn't fit Rabbi Yehuda either. As the Gemara liolam Rabbi Yehuda mayel bavachli iskavin latzud. Really, it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. What do we mean when we say bavachli iskavin latzud? As long as you don't have kavana to trap shelo yasenek matzuda. It just means that you don't set it up like a trap in a way that it's completely enclosing the bees. You set it up in a way where there's room for the bees to escape. So you're not actually trapping anything, and therefore it's not just an issue of Davashen Miskavin. Period. Ravashi says, no, the case with the bees, what was our problem? That you're being metaltel the mat to cover up the bees, and it's all muktza. So we said, what do you mean it's, so we answered, no, there's honey in there. So we said, what do you mean there's honey in there? There's no honey in there in the wintertime. So he says, who said anything about wintertime? We never said you're moving it in the wintertime. We said you're moving it to protect it from the rain when it rains and from the sun when it's sunny. It doesn't only rain in wintertime. It often rains when it's not wintertime. So Rav Ashi answers, Mikatani b'yamos hachama u'b'yamos hagshamim. Did it say anything about wintertime and summertime and wintertime? B'chama mipnei hachama, b'gshamim mipnei hagshamim. It says when it's sunny, when it's rainy. Katani b'yom nisan, b'yom tishrei, dika chama, v'ika gshamim. It's talking about during the days of Nisan, the days of Tishrei, when you have sun sometimes, you have rain sometimes, and you have honey in there during those seasons. So that's what we're talking about, when you have plenty of honey there, not the two chalos of honey that you have. That is the answer that Rav Ashi gives. Now notice, the question when it was originally asked, on the bottom of Mem Gimel and Aleph, was Amalei Rav Ukva Mimishan li Rav Ashi. Right? The question was asked to Rav Ashi. First answer didn't tell us that it was Rav Ashi giving the answer. Second answer is Rav Ashi giving the answer. So how exactly did this conversation work out? Rav Ukva asked the kasha to Rav Ashi, then who gave that first answer? And then Rav Ashi gives the second answer when that first answer doesn't seem to work so well. So Tosfos points out, Mistama Rav Ashi Heshev Miyad came to Rav Ukva. This second answer must have been the way the conversation worked. He must have given this answer right away. It's just that the Gemara wanted to stick in its own answer in recounting the story. So the Gemara stuck in its own editorial note of that first answer in telling over the story, but Rav Ashi must have given this first answer right away. The second possibility, V'rashba Omer, Tishneim Heshev Rav Ashi. Both answers were given by Rav Ashi. So it's just the Gemara doesn't mention Rav Ashi Amar till the second answer, but really both answers were given by Rav Ashi. Okay, that's the end of the tiltal litzarech, meaning of explaining our Mishnah of putting a kli underneath a ner, whether you're allowed to put a kli over a beitza, and all the challenges that come out from that. Now we have a new discussion about a mace. The segue into the discussion about a mace is, he said, go tell Rav Yitzchak that your rule that ain kli nital el davar anital, that you're not allowed to move a kli for a mukta item, you're only allowed to move a kli for the sake of a non mukta item, you should know we've already discussed that in Bavel. In what context? Tamar Rav Huna. Osin mechitza lemeis b'shvil chai, veinos mechitza lemeis b'shvil meis. You're allowed to make a mechitza to protect a dead body as long as originally when you made that mechitza you did it for a live person. Meaning you're not allowed to do it when you originally do it for a dead person, because the dead person is mukta, and you're not allowed to move the mechitza in the first place for the sake of a dead person. Maihi, so what exactly is the case? Tam Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, v'chein tan shila, Mari, meis mutal b'chama, meis hamutal b'chama, if you have a dead body that's in the sun and it's going to start smelling, it's going to start decomposing. So the way to solve that problem is two people should come and should sit on either side of the dead body. Once it starts getting hot, the ground underneath them starts getting hot, so they don't want to sit on the ground anymore. So then each one could bring a mita, a small bed to sit on. Then when the sun starts beating down on them and starts getting hot for them, they could bring a mat to hold over them, to protect them, to shade them from the sun. And then, once they have that, each one can then get up, turn his bed sideways to hold it up, to hold up the mat that he had then brought, and that will and then walk away. And that way, the mat will make an ohel, it will make a canopy over the dead body, and it will protect the body from the sun. But they have to do this harama, this thing, that they originally bring these kalim for themselves. Once they brought it for themselves, then they can leave it there for the mace. So there is a discussion, the Pesach Beis Meir in Simur Shintas Vav talks about using an umbrella. This sounds a lot like it should belong in the sugya of using an umbrella on Shabbos, right? They're taking something and they're making an ohel to protect themselves from the sun. So, well, let's say you want to use an umbrella to protect yourself from the sun or the rain, whatever you want to use it for. It sounds like very much the same thing. So the Beis Meir writes that it's telling the Machlokes Rishonim Beit Olam and Beis if there's an isra of making an ohel without mechitzos. That according to Rat, because an umbrella is an ohel without mechitzos, you're not allowed to make an ohel aray on Shabbos. It's a violation of bona. So over here, an ohel without mechitzos, according to Rashi, it's still called an Owl without mechitzos. According to Tosfos and the Rush, it's only called an Owl with mechitzos. But in any quotes from Rashi over here, where they're Ochsin HaMachzelos B'Yadein, why do they have to be Ochsin HaMachzelos B'Yadein? So he says that so long as the mitos are not zakufos and they're holding in their hand, it's not an oel at all, because anything a person holds in their hand, and that's the whole way the oel is standing up, is by a person holding it by their hands, that's not an ohel. In camp sometimes, I remember when you know how in the mountains it rains and it really rains, so the waiters would want to run from the dining room, they would take the trays from the dining room, put it over their heads to protect them while they're running back to the waiter bunk. So is that usher? That would seem to be exactly this, you're holding with the hand. So what's the issue with holding with the hand? Doesn't seem to be any problem. So what's the issue then of using an umbrella on Shabbos? So this is a major discussion in the early Achronim. The Nodibuda thinks that it's in Madura Tinyan, the Simon Lamed, that it's in Issa Daraisa to use an umbrella on Shabbos. The Chassam Sofer and Archaim Simnayim Beis does not think it's in Issa Daraisa. One thing that you have to work through is whether their umbrellas are looked anything like our umbrellas. Whatever it is, whatever the issue may be, it's not abundantly clear what the issue is. The strong minhag in Klal Yisrael is to assume that it's aser for some reason or another, but the discussion could start here. Anyway, itmar meisa mutal b'chama. We said if there's a dead body lying in the sun, you're allowed to move the body from one bed to another. You could put a loaf of bread or a baby on the body and then move the body. So everyone agrees, if there is a kikar otinok, then that's fine, it's totally permissible. Ki pligi dil lesle. The whole machlokas is, what if you don't have a kikar otinok? So marsav tiltul minatzad shmei tiltul, or marsav lo shmei tiltul. So then it's a machlokas, can you be metaltul minatzad? Can you be metaltul the dead body, not directly, but by flipping it off of the bed, by lifting the bed that's underneath it. So that's the whole machlokas. But if you have a kikar otinok, it's definitely better to use a kikar otinok. Says the Gilyan Ashas on the side of the Gemara over here, Bikivegar Kashali, Amailo Havi Amita Atzma b'makom kikar otinok. Why isn't the bed as good as a kikar otinok? I mean, if you want to move the body out of the sun, so pick up the bed and move the bed. Meaning you just need something that's not mutza to move together with the body. So why isn't the bed that he's lying on good enough? And he says, Ilo Yiruklum, the Achronim don't discuss this at all, but Sarach Yin Gadol, and he doesn't understand it at all. Why the bed would not be considered a good enough kikar otinok to move it. So this is a major discussion where this also comes up, is that the Achronim discuss in Shulchan Aruch, says, he quotes Yesh Misha Omer, that the whole issue is only a problem if the mace doesn't have any clothing on. But if he has clothing on, then it's not a problem because the clothing is going to be your kikar otinok. So everyone asks, wait a second, what about the story with David HaMelech, Davlam and Ambeis? They needed a kikar otinok to move David HaMelech's body. What, when he went to see what the rustling of the leaves was in the backyard, he wasn't wearing any clothing? The stomach, he was wearing clothing, so that's what the Achronim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch say. The Taz, the Magen Avraham, they say, no, it must be that the clothing of a melech is muktzah, because no one else is allowed to wear the clothing of a melech. So for him, it wouldn't have been a good kikar otinok. But for a regular body, maybe the clothing is a good kikar otinok. Okay, there's more to say on that. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll pick up from Tiltul Minatzad from there tomorrow.